But it's not personal between you and me. It's personal between you and Jesus Christ. And it is very, very personal. You know, there are 13 different words translated for seed, S-E-E, in the New Testament. And God put the Bible, the New Testament, in Koine Greek. His son came when, after Alexander had conquered the world, and the Greek language had spread across it. The Bible says in the fullness of time, he came. Everything was prepared. And one of the things that God prepared was a language to place his inspired word into. And he chose Koine Greek because there never has been a language that was more expressive. In our language, we have the word S-E-E-C, and we don't have a whole lot of words that express seed. There's just a few. But God made sure he put his language, his word, into a language that he could express by his Spirit precisely what he meant. And we're going to take a look at the Beatitude that says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. You see, there are 13 different words, Greek words, translated as see in the New Testament. And the one we're going to look at is 8a. And it's used as the future and it's passive. Is referring to the object presented to the eye as to the subject which perceives at the same time. The state of him, the affection of the mind of him, to whose eye or mind the object is presented to truly comprehend and know. I just showed you that because, not to impress you, and I don't expect you to fully understand what I just read. So let me put it in plain Arkansas terminology. It means to see with the heart, with the mind. The first time I ever saw my wife, I really liked what I saw. I thought she was the cutest little booger I ever saw. And she had so many freckles, she was just covered up with them. And I liked freckles. Well, I liked the way my wife looked. I saw her with my eyes. That's not the kind of word we're going to look at today in the Beatitudes. The word see, blessed, are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. It's that word. And it's not used a whole lot of times in the Bible. We're just going to take a look at a couple of times. It means to see with the heart, to see with the mind. The first time Kenneth ever saw Donna, he almost broke his leg getting out of that thing he hit it on. It hurt. Getting back there where he could introduce himself as a charming armor white horse. And but as he dated her, he began to see her with his heart. And that was the same with me. It's what keeps marriages together. So many times people marry because they're attracted to the physical aspect of a person rather than seeing the person with their heart. And this isn't just some romantic love story. That's just the way life is. And, you know, I said this was going to be very personal, and it really is. I was saved when I was 12. I was baptized by immersion by the authority of the local church when I was 23. But I didn't really begin to see Jesus with my heart till I was 38 years old. I was saved because I saw him on the cross in my heart, and I realized that he died for me and loved me that much. And I realized he died for my sins, and if I wanted to go to heaven, I had to openly acknowledge before him and the world that I am a sinner, and I must have a Savior. And I asked Jesus to save me, believing Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But I could only You see, one aspect of Jesus was like when I first saw Imogene. I liked what I saw. I liked what I saw in his love for me. And I saw that in my eyes. I saw it everywhere. I saw it in church. I saw it at home. I saw it on posters. I saw it in pictures. And it was real and it was true. And then I realized the Bible taught very clearly that even though I was saved, he expected me to join a church and to worship him in his church. And I held out a long time for that because I had too many things my flesh enjoyed that making a commitment to God was something that I had too much life to live. And I was 23 before I was ever baptized. Of course, I was saved when I went into the water long before when I was 12. But I didn't see Jesus really with my heart till I was 38. Some of you sitting here, you never have developed a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You say, would you point me out? I want to know. You think it's me? I can't do that. I don't know. But I know that every human being, after they're saved, the Lord wants you to see him with your heart. I believe my wife to be the kindest, gentlest, lovingest woman I've ever known. More so than my mother, who I love dearly, and her compassion and love for me were unchallenged. But I grew to see Imogene with my heart. And I see her today with my heart. The wrinkles, the gray hair, the staggering, the loss of memory, the dimming eyes. I don't see that. I just see her as who she is. And I see her with my heart because my heart has observed her for 52 years now. I didn't know that Jesus expected me to have that kind of relationship, and I kept wondering why on earth he kept bugging me after I'd been saved and scripturally baptized. He wanted to have that relationship with me. Now, I look every one of you in the eye, and I'll be honest with you. He wants to have that relationship with you. He wants you to see him with your heart. Now, when I got saved, he gave me a new heart. His Spirit came and lived inside me. And if you want to know what the heart is, the spiritual heart, it's the new Spirit of Christ in you that is locked inside a seal the devil cannot touch with your saved soul. And your saved soul, believe it or not, can still follow the flesh or follow the new Spirit. And many people understand he won't leave them or forsake them. They know they're saved. And that's the only relationship they ever really want with Jesus. They're afraid of a personal commitment. They don't really want to get to know him. Some of you have to be in that boat because I was in it until I was 38 years old. And all of a sudden, I began to study about him. I began to want to understand. Who is this man? What's he like? And I began to develop a personal love for him. I know an awful lot about Jesus, believe it or not. Matter of fact, there are a million things I don't know about him. But there are a million things I do know about him. And I have a relationship with Christ. And I see him every day of my life. And I have what you call fellowship with Christ. And it's the sweetest thing in my life. And while I can't lose my salvation, I can lose my fellowship with Christ. Oh, I won't go to hell. But I'll guarantee you one thing. When I break fellowship with the Lord, it doesn't take me very long to get right back in fellowship with Him just as soon as I possibly can, because I miss Him. Over the years, Imogene and I have had arguments. They're always my fault. You say, you're just being modest. No, I'm being truthful. They're always my fault. And you better believe that I want to get back in fellowship with her just as soon as I can. Not for sex or anything like that, but just because I want to be with her. I don't want a different relationship with her. And so I usually drag myself back, tell her I'm sorry, and get in fellowship with her again. Now, if you want to go through the rest of your life and not let the Lord change you, and you like yourself just exactly as you are, well, you can just go ahead and be miserable for the rest of your spiritual life and end up in heaven. But if you really want to see Jesus from your heart, and it's your spirit that teaches you about Jesus so you can see Him from your heart. And your spirit wrote the book, incidentally. The Holy Spirit wrote the book we call the Bible. He put an awful lot of things in there about Jesus. And that has been one of the goals and aspirations of this church and of the teaching in it as far back as I can remember. This word, 8a, is found in the Beatitudes. I want to take a look at it, and I'm going to ask you to do something that only you can do. Oh, I can encourage you to do it. I can pray that you'll do it. I can hope that you'll do it. I can even perhaps make you mad enough to do it. But the real question is, do you want it? Do you want it? Jesus wants it. Of that I'm absolutely positive. So the question is, do you want it? I've already talked about these Beatitudes. I've told you how the word Beatitude means ecstatic happiness. And when He uses these expressions, He's blessed. He's talking about blessed means ecstatically happy. And we've covered it all the way down to verse 8 in Matthew 5, 1 through 3. We've gotten down to, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. There's that word, see. It's not just talking about seeing God with the eyeballs. It's talking about seeing Him from the heart, knowing Him, knowing what He's like, falling in love with Him. When you got saved, that was your initial introduction. The first time I saw an imaging, that was the initial introduction. But it didn't take me long to fall in love with Him. I didn't start to fall in love with Jesus till I was 38. And at that particular point in time, a rather traumatic event occurred in my life. I've told you about it before. And all of a sudden, I was face to face with my heart, not with my eyes, with this man. And I began to want to understand some things about Him. I began to be curious about, what's He like? What does the Bible teach about Him? What does He want to teach me? And my heart began to see Him just a little bit at a time, sort of like a picture that unveils. First you see the head, then the neck. Eventually it falls down and you see Him exposed, all of Him. Well, I'm a long way from seeing Him exposed completely, all of His characteristics and His attributes. But I can tell you that He has virtue, that He has knowledge. I can tell you that He has temperance. I can tell you that He has mercy, that He has love, that he has compassion, that he knows you personally, knew you before you were ever formed in your mother's womb, loves you with a compassion that you and I cannot grasp or understand, and wants you to get to see him and know him as he is. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. When you get saved, you've got a perfect spirit. And that perfect spirit is locked inside a protective shell with your soul. And the combination of your perfect spirit and your imperfect soul, who is saved, are locked together. And you can either follow and get to know that spirit and come to see him with your heart, in your heart, or you can follow the flesh. You say, well, when I got saved, my heart got purified. Your spirit was purified and eternally saved, and so was your soul. God had a work. He wanted to teach your soul about him so that your soul could fall in love with him, and so you could become someone whose heart was already saved but still needed to have a pure love. And your soul can have a pure love for God if you listen to his spirit that wrote this book and that is locked and united with your soul inside a protective shell that the devil can never break and send you to hell. But the devil can influence your soul, and your perfect spirit can influence your soul, and you're caught in the middle. Do you want to see God with your heart? Well, then you're going to have to decide to let God work on your heart and not to put up so much of a struggle and a fight against him, to stay just like you are. 1 John 3:2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. I was the son of God at age 12, 63 years ago. I became a son of God when God's Spirit came into my heart, because I did what Paul said. I repented of my sins and put my faith in Jesus Christ and asked him to save me. And if you're saved, you're saved by grace because you trusted Jesus. But you can go through the rest of your life and never make an effort to see Jesus with your heart and to be his friend. He's your friend. First time I ever met Kenneth, I saw a very carnal man. First time he ever met me, he saw a very carnal man. But we both knew Jesus. Well, over these 33 years, I see Kenneth from my heart. I see his flaws, and I accept them. He sees my flaws, and I accept his. That's what church membership's all about. Understanding that we have flaws, but that we have the same Spirit of Christ living within us. And I love Kenneth. I've had a growing relationship with him for a long time. And the more I study the Bible, and the more I understand Kenneth, the more I understand myself, the more forgiving I am toward him, and the more forgiving he is toward me, and the more understanding he is. And we have a different relationship from when we first met. That's true with you too, Rosie. True with you, Leonard. Jimmy Ellis, it's true with you too. I grew to love them, because the more I understood about them, and the more they understood about me, they understood our shortcomings and accept each other the way that we are. in Christ. Now, whether or not you want to see Jesus with your heart, it's up to you. And you don't have to see him with your heart. You don't have to develop this ability to see him and understand him. You don't have to study his word. You don't have to come to church. You know Christ from the moment you received him. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, nor does it yet appear what part of heaven we'll live in. Heaven's a big place. The final heaven has a city 3/5 the size of the United States that sets down on a brand new earth that's made by God, as the city is made by God. You say, well, I don't care about that sort of stuff. I just want to know about salvation. That's what a lot of church members want. That's what a lot of churches are built on. Get them saved. Tell them about Jesus. Tell them about repentance. Tell them about faith. Get them out of conviction. Get them saved. Lead them down the running road. Save that soul. Well, certainly, that is the first part of the Great Commission. And that's part of this church's commission. But what about teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you? And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen, it says. What about that? Do you know that when you teach his commandments, you teach about him, and you get to know him, and for the first time you begin to see him with your heart, and you begin to fall in love with him. Is that what you want? When you're young, it's almost impossible to do that. And when you're in your 20s and 30s and you're dating and you're just looking for a mate or trying to live with the one you've got, you got so many things on your mind you can't hardly have time for this. But you believe that Jesus saved you, and you believe that because it's based on the Bible. Don't you believe about the heavenly city 3/5 the size of the United States and a new earth? You say, well, no, I don't care about that stuff. You better care about that stuff. That's your future. How can you believe one part and not believe the other? I'll tell you how. Because your life is so tied up down here, living it in this environment, that you don't have any time for Jesus and to understand the things he has to say in his word. And many of you here will go to your grave, saved for many years, and yet never understand what it means to see Jesus from your heart. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see. There is that same identical word. Heaven's a big place. Where are you going to live? Charlie, do you have a closer relationship with Jesus than when you first joined this church? You know him better, don't you? You learn about him. You like him a lot more now, don't you? So do I. How about you, Leroy? I mean, you learn about him. You're a lot closer to him. You can see a lot of things about him. I'm not going to ask any more of you, but I am asking you all as a unit. How close are you to him now? Are you closer than when you joined this church? Are you closer than when you were young? Do you see him now from your heart? You say, look, church is just a place to go. Hey, I'm with you. I know what you're talking about. From age 12 to 38, you know why I went to church? To get the Holy Spirit off my back. I didn't like being convicted all the time. I knew I was supposed to go to church. I understood all that. And when the preacher preached, I smiled and thought little things, and I thought, this, how silly this is. And I was just deceiving myself. Till age 38, I went to church to get the Holy Spirit off my back, and because Papa Mike and Phil made me go. And then after I got married, every time something happened with all of our kids, I'd run back to church because I was afraid if I didn't go back to church, I might lose one of my children. So, you see, there's an awful lot to all this. Why do you come to church? Guilt? You've got a reason. Because you feel miserable if you don't? Or do you come to church because of what you're hearing right now? And facing yourself, as I have to when I prepare these messages. And do you have a better growing relationship with Jesus than you did when you first started coming here? Did you ever stop to think that your relationship and where you are located in proximity to where Jesus is located might be, and quite frankly it is, in direct proportion to how close you are to Him now? You say, well, it won't matter to me. Yes, it will. There's a huge city and a huge new earth. And some people are going to live outside that city, and some people are going to live in it. And Jesus says His throne is going to be in it. You say, well, I'm perfectly happy to live outside that city for all eternity. Well, it's not hell outside that city. It's quite nice. But for all eternity to live outside a city where Jesus is inside, because you did not have a close relationship with Him here, why should you expect to have a close relationship with Him in heaven? Oh, you'll see the light of His glory shining out of the city. No question about that. It says the people outside the city will walk in the light of it. But these people are pure in heart. And they're going to see Jesus right up close inside the city forever. You see, He spoke this to save people. Every one of these that He spoke it to were His disciples. They'd all been saved. They'd all been baptized. They were all members of the first church that traveled with Him. John 5:24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. I heard His word when I was 12. I believed that God the Father sent Him. I repented of my sins and trusted Jesus and called on His name, and I have everlasting life. That is a present indicative active. It means that at that moment I received it, I shall not come into condemnation. I am passed from death unto life. I'm going to heaven now. Who am I going to live in heaven? And how will I see Jesus? From a distance, or perhaps inside the city up close? Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. John 15:3. Well, how did I get clean? Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. I heard the word of God. He that heareth my word, I believe that God the Father sent Him. God cleansed my heart. God cleansed my heart, cleansed my soul, put a new spirit inside me, locked it in eternal bondage with my soul, and now He's been living in there for 63 years trying to get my soul to continually, daily confess its sins as they occur and to follow the leadership of His Spirit rather than my flesh. So as far as God is concerned, I'm heaven bound. The initial word that I heard saved my soul. It's sealed. The Bible says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed until the day of redemption. I'm not worried about going to heaven, but I am concerned about my relationship with Christ in heaven as far as where I'll be living in proximity to Him. I don't like to be out of fellowship with Him here. And I don't want to be outside that gate in heaven when He's inside it. And I thank God at age 38 I began to wake up. I thank God I began to see Jesus in the Word, in the book we call the Bible. And I began to understand how He thinks, how He feels, by what He said and by what He did. And He's my friend. He always has been. Now I'm His friend. 2 Peter 1:4. You say, well, you talk about that city all the time. You talk about where Jesus lives all the time. You talk about rewards in heaven. You talk about some will see rewards, some won't.
whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises. All those things I've been talking about, the heavenly city where Jesus lives, your proximity as to where he is in heaven, where you end up in heaven. You're not going to hell if you know Christ is your Savior. But why did God give us all these exceeding great and precious promises? That by these, and the world is full of them, ye might be partakers of his divine nature. I'm a partaker of Imogene's nature. You know what changed me into a different man, a different kind of husband? By God giving me a woman that loved me, would do anything I asked her to do, would put up with my irritability, my self-centeredness, my narcissistic attitude. Somebody that was no question in my mind loved me and would put up me, the rascal that I am. And it broke me. And it's changed me and is changing me. You say, well, that was Imogene changed it. No, it was Christ in Imogene. And he gave her to me. And he's the one that is changing me. Right here is the key. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you, John 15:13. 2 Peter 1:4. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. I escaped damnation. I escaped hell. I've been passed from death unto life. Now these great promises that the Lord has given me are there and they're real. And at age 38, I began to see Jesus with my heart. I began to see who he is, what he represents, how he performs, what he does, why he does it, what he says, when he says it, and why he says it. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, I see him with my heart. Do you see Jesus with your heart? Do you see him with your heart? Do you know him? Are you his friend? Do you come to church because you want to learn more about him and you want to understand what it is that he wants to do to change your life? Why do you come to church? On a guilt trip? Because you want to feel good because you went to church and the Holy Spirit will leave you alone for a couple of weeks? Or do you want to learn about him, know about him, and see him in this book with your heart? You're missing the greatest blessing in your life if you've never done this, because it's the greatest thing that ever happened in my life. You know, he said this to the disciples just before he was about ready to be arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he was praying and asking God to do something. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. The word sanctify is hagasso. This is his truth. Paul wrote to Timothy and he said, these things I write unto you, hoping to come unto you shortly. But if I tarry long, and then he told him why he wrote them, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. The truth will wake you up to yourself. Sanctify means to set apart. You know what your problem is? Same one I have every day. God wants to set us apart from our ways and the ways of the world. And God wants to have a close, warm, personal, intimate relationship with us every day of our lives. He doesn't want a hop, skip, and jump relationship. He doesn't want an intermittent relationship. He wants to set you apart by the word of God, and by seeing him with your heart. And a pure person in heart is someone who lets the Lord set him aside. This is talking about a purification of a life being set apart. It is not talking about the initial experience of salvation. Unless you have the initial experience of salvation, you cannot experience this. But once Christ gets inside you, he wants you to see him with your heart. Matthew 6:33-34. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. One day at a time, one fight at a time, one battle at a time, one war at a time between the new spirit and your flesh and your soul caught in the middle. Day by day, week by week, month by month. And as the weeks and months and years pass, you will see Jesus more and more and more as he is. And the closer you draw to him here, the closer you're going to live in heaven to him. John 15, 3 and 4. After he said, now you are clean through the word which was spoken to you, he said, continuing in John 15, 3 and 4, now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot abide fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. Oh, I've got Christ in me, and I'm in Christ, and Christ is in God, and Christ is God. All that's true. And he will never separate me from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Never. But there is one thing that I am fully capable of. I can break fellowship with him. I cannot lose my salvation, but I can lose my fellowship with him. And I can try to separate myself from the vine. Don't come to church. Don't worship God. Don't give to God. Don't try to see Jesus with your heart. Don't study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman indeed, if not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Don't surrender your will to the Lord. Don't humble yourself before God. Live your own life and go ahead and be miserable. It's your call. This is talking about breaking fellowship with God. It's talking about not wanting to have a close, personal, intimate relationship with him. It's talking about, I don't want to see this, and it's like a horror film. Little child covers his eyes. I don't want to watch that. A lot of children of God. I don't want to see that. I don't want to know him. I don't want to understand that. I don't want that. Because it interferes with what you have as a preconceived idea of what you think your life ought to be. Well, it's a very simple life. The fishing of the day is the evil thereof. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I sin about 16 times a day. That's a lie. I probably sin 200 times a day. You say, well, would you account them for us? No, because I may discover next week that a lot of things I thought weren't sin are sin. You say, well, you're just one big old mixed up booger. You're absolutely right. I'm one big old mixed up booger. And you know what? I've got Jesus as my Savior. And I just confess my sins every day. And I confess them moment by moment. And I get through life quite well. And I see him with my heart. You say, well, what do you see about him? Who's going to do that for you? How many times have you asked the Lord to forgive you for something? How many times did he forgive you? Would your mother forgive you that many times? Would your dad forgive you that many times? Would the community forgive you that many times? Would a judge forgive you that many times? No. He's my friend. And I'm his friend. And I see him as he is. Well, it is now 12 o'clock. You know what? I may finish that next Sunday. It's what I've been saying to you. Is it just so much Greek? Am I just an old preacher that's supposed to be preaching that stuff, and that's just what I do because I'm supposed to? I bow before God and I stand before man, knowing I must answer the judgment seat of Christ. And I can tell you that Jesus doesn't have anything except your best interest at heart. And because he lives in me, and because I've come to see myself as a stumbling, bumbling fool, an old sinner who preaches to others and is guilty of the same things that they are, but God called me to do this. And this is my role, this is my goal in life. It's what God gave me to do. And because Jesus lives in me, I am concerned about every one of you, because you're a human being just like I am. You're trotting along a road of life just like I have and am. Some of you are young, some of you are middle-aged, some of you are old. Most of you, if not all of you, are probably saved. You need to learn more about this man Jesus. This church can't offer you a lot of things, but it can offer you Jesus. And it can offer you the things that are taught about him in the Word. And the Word is what you need. Because Jesus is the Logos, the living Word. God's been dealing with you this morning. and the Spirit's convicting you to come down this aisle this morning, then just go ahead and come. God will take care of the rest. I couldn't take care of my own salvation. Jesus did it. You need a Savior? You can receive Him this morning. You need your life to change? Then you need to turn to God with a willingness and a desire to get to know Him and see Him from your heart as He is. As the pianist comes, the song leader comes, I've shown you God's Word. The rest is a personal matter between you and His Spirit. Bob, would you turn on the lights over there?